Welcome everyone to today's webinar, Benefits and Cautions of Managing Your Website on the Cloud, Essential Strategies IT and Business Leaders Need to Know. My name is Serafina Fronja, Channel Communications Specialist for Sitecore, and I'll be your moderator today. We are recording today's webinar, and we will send attendees a link to the recorded presentation within a couple of days. We'll also provide a PDF of the PowerPoint slides. Feel free to share with colleagues that could not attend the live webinar. If you have questions or comments during the live webinar, please post them in the dialog window on your webinar toolbar or via the Twitter discussion with hashtag SiteCoreCloud. Presenting on the topic today is Lars Nielsen, Sitecore co-founder and senior vice president of technical marketing. Lars has extensive experience as developer and architect of over 100 high-profile websites, including ABN AMRO, BWIN, Thomas Cook, and Copenhagen County. His 8 years of experience at a leading systems integration and solutions company brings the critical end-user and partner perspective to his work at Sitecore. Lars visits major clients in Europe and helps them architect their software solutions integrated with the Sitecore CMS. He works with the management group in defining business needs and the IT department in translating that into appropriate technical architecture and development, all the time working closely with our partners. He also is responsible for forming strategic alliances with independent software vendors and technology partners. Lars is in demand on the international speaking circuit and a frequent guest at Microsoft and Sitecore technology summits. Welcome, Lars.
Thank you very much, Serafina, and thank you for everybody who has joined in on today's webinar, where we'll go in depth with what the cloud is and Sitecore's offering in the cloud and the key opportunities the cloud offers for you as either end customers or partners. Today we will be touching on today's agenda will be what is the cloud. There's a lot of abbreviations and synonyms flying around. And practically everything that has somehow connection to the internet may be mentioned as the cloud, as it was something magic. So I'll be going in depth with what is infrastructure as a service, what is platform as a service, and what is software as a service, what's the difference between those, and what kind of vendors would we have in the different categories. We also look into what the key opportunities for you as customers are going into the cloud. We'll look into what Sitecore has done within our software to become ready for the cloud, and then we'll look at one current offering we do have with Microsoft on the Azure platform to deliver our services within the cloud. Sitecore is a leading provider of enterprise-class .NET Web Content Management systems. Our customers would be in the mid to large organization range. We have offices spread around the world, San Francisco, Boston, Copenhagen, London, Munich, Brisbane, Stockholm, Amsterdam, Tokyo. Since we were incepted in 99, we have had a good growth every year, the same owners, same vision, same technology, heavy investments in our product. We have more than 2,000 client installations with more than 24,000 dynamic websites. We may even have more, but, you know, customers running the services in the cloud may have spin off a lot of different websites on our technology. We have a lot of recognition in the market, latest in the Gartner Web Content Management Magic Quadrant from 2010, where Sitecore is named leader. And this is one of the this is the only leader in that square of the at the quadrant, who is solemnly based on the .NET platform. Everybody else is using a mix of technologies or pure Java. Sitecore has more than 500 certified partners worldwide and more than 3,000 certified developers for our technology. Our customers, as I said previously, is mid-sized to large customers who has different kinds of needs within the web, but mostly they're using the Sitecore website content management software for public facing websites and communication websites. First, what is the cloud? Because as I said previously, there's a lot of words running around on the cloud. Well, there are three kinds of major offerings in the cloud. There is infrastructure as a service, platform as a service, and then software as a service. If we look at infrastructure as a service, this would usually be vendors who offers operation systems in a virtual environment. So basically, you go in and buy services from them. You're going to buy virtual machines on a consumption-based model. On top of that, you could have platform as service providers. In this category falls Microsoft. What they do, the major difference between a company like Microsoft on the Azure platform and infrastructure service providers is that Microsoft exposes only in their offering .NET framework, the Microsoft SQL Server, Azure format framework, which means you do not have access to the full virtual machine. This limits you. You cannot install proprietary web or Windows applications within the framework. But on the other hand, it also gives you the ability to build an application that runs in a very controlled environment. It's running natively in .NET, and you do not need to maintain the Windows operating system. You do not need to maintain your .NET framework. That's something Microsoft will do on your behalf. When you run infrastructure as a service, this could be Amazon, for example, with the Elastic Cloud. Amazon may have may provide a number of virtual machines, and you buy access to those, and this allows you to install custom proprietary software within these virtual machines. But on the other hand, it makes it very hard for the infrastructure as service provider to update the operation system, the .NET framework, as this is closely maintained by itself. Finally, we would see hosted application software. This would be where Salesforce typically would fall in this category. Software as a service, where you buy access to the software and you rent that on a consumption-based model. Now, most of these use this consumption-based model models. In infrastructure as a service and platform as a service providers, usually make you pay on a consumption-based model based on the CPU and database utilization. So in other words, you pay for the bandwidth you're using, you pay for the CPU you're using, and if you need additional resources, you buy another virtual machine or another instance of the .NET framework. Usually, infrastructure as a service and platform as a service provides the foundation on which the software as a service or your custom solution would reside. So that could be a Sitecore website where you either maintain the solution yourself on Amazon, Elastic Cloud, or it could be a solution where you maintain part of the solution, that is the Sitecore solution yourself, running on Microsoft Azure. Software as a service is a service model where you buy access to a piece of software and then you pay also on a consumption-based model, but very often on a seat model. So if you go out and buy, you would buy access to several seats in your organization and not per the usage within that model. That means the pricing for the actual infrastructure and the CPU utilization, bandwidth, etc., would be hidden in the in the proceed model. So I've been mentioning different companies in the different categories. Salesforce is typically a software as a service provider. One of the differences, key differences between Salesforce and the other providers is they sell the end software, but in most of these vendors also offers other services. For example, at Salesforce, you can also buy access to their platform as a service, giving their development framework. Microsoft Azure is a native platform as a service provider. You get access only to .NET and SQL. And Amazon offers both platform as a service, but also infrastructure as a service, while Rackspace is only using infrastructure as a service. So what benefits would we have for the cloud? Now, I will touch more on each of these topics further in the presentation as we advance, but first point is operating expenditure versus capital expenditure. So that means the customer does not need to pay upfront for hardware and infrastructure, and this also allows them to go have a quicker time to market. I'll go into it with why. Focus on your core competency. Why would you spend a lot of resources within your organization to build the infrastructure and maintaining the hardware, maintaining the operation systems, if you could focus on delivering your application to the end customers only? And of course, very often, because you are using infrastructure is expensive, very often you would compromise your needs and you wouldn't be able to reach the number of customers. For example, you couldn't set up a remote hosting center in Asia or somewhere else because that's an expensive operation. And by using the cloud, you could do so. So streamline your time to market. Very often in pilot projects, the scope is to offer new features or products on the net or to test if the solution is successful. So by using cloud offerings, it's possible to click on the solution. Once the solution is ready, it's possible to transfer it to the web without any infrastructure planning and execution. So this moves agility back to your organization. If you're using software as a service or offering software as a service or plan to, it's possible for you to add new customers on the fly without capacity planning. So this means the customer do not need to pay upfront for your cost of operating, and that means you can offer something like that cheaper to your customers. Reduce time and hassle of implementation. In projects, organization must cooperate closely with IT and services, goes without saying. IT must be involved in capacity planning, security level assessment, service level agreements, bandwidth analysis, hardware purchase, deployment, maintaining, etc., etc. So this is something that takes a lot of energy out of the organization and also injects a layer of delay and complexity to any project you may have. Especially if you're running pilot projects or minor marketing websites, time consumed by such operation is magnified compared to the benefit. Also, in solutions where the success is unknown, growing the capacity would impact IT in regards to ongoing upgrades. We need another server. We need another server. And every time, they would have to be involved in this process. If you run a software as a service operation or charge customers for your web services, starting out low would impact costs for your customers as they do not need to invest on behalf of future operations. When your organization does not know the full impact of the solution, very often it becomes a struggle to get funding to cover future operations and loads. Using the cloud offerings allows your organization to start out low and then scale as it becomes more successful. And finally, and this is also a point that we encounter very often, is that IT would sometimes not accept foreign software, software they do not already have in the current infrastructure due to government models or security models. And this may discourage marketers from proposing software that may not be present in the existing infrastructure. Despite this, software may be the best match for the task at hand. Why spend a lot of money and effort into configuring your infrastructure if you could rather spend money on investing or what the benefits of in your application that you deliver to your end customers? I mean your website or whatever application that might be. You could redirect trivial task resources, such as maintaining the entire infrastructure, into innovation resources, and that means your company would grow more mature on the net. Running an infrastructure, services, maintenance, etc., is a time-consuming matter. Cloud vendors who runs thousands of customers' infrastructure, that could be Asia, there's thousands of customers running there, can update all of these in a single operation. Of course, something like that takes an in-depth analysis before we start doing that and also some planning. But essentially, they can update all the customers in one automated process at the same time it would take your IT to update one single server. And of course, this saves time, it saves money, it also makes it less error prone, because they would run a test scenario, and then when everything seems fine, then they could actually do the entire update. Very often organizations do have a limited number of server farms, so they usually centralize servers in a single location. But if they want to test new markets, for example, in order to cater the needs for bandwidth, they're forced to assign a large capital commitment to new data centers or new servers. So many of our customers, we experience a lot of our customers simply compromise with the needs because they do not have funding to extend the current operations or set up a new data center. So by using the cloud, they can do so. They can set up a new data center with a very low cost. Also, in addition to point one, point three refers to organizations will very often not choose to invest in geolocated server farms. For example, a server farm in Asia, a server farm in Europe, and in the U.S. due to the high capital commitment. So very often, they compromise by assigning a single location, for example, in the U.S. to cater all regions. And this means they cannot give their remote customers the best possible web experience due to lags and delays. And they may lose trust to these customers, and they eventually may even lose the customers. By using the web, by using the cloud, they can spin up in a single instance in a matter of an hour in a remote location and give their customers a much better experience. Sitecore and the cloud. So what have we been doing in order to function in the cloud? Well, first, let's look at the requirements in order to run software in the cloud. The software must be able to support multiple servers who can automatically update themselves from one or multiple resources. So that means each server must be self-containing. It should be able to pick up changes in configuration, in data, from one or more data locations. It should be possible to clone the instance, and also it should be possible to refresh cache on each of these servers as data is being updated, because in order to get high performance on the website, naturally you would put caching on, for example, in Sitecore's case, the web delivery service. And what happens if you update a piece of content? Well, if you run a single instance, you would have great control with what content has been updated, but when you run multiple instances, each of these should be able to incrementally clear the cache. So that is something we've built into Sitecore. It should also be possible, and this is very important, when you have application development frameworks such as Sitecore, customers can hook in and customize the solution exactly as they would like to. But that also means it sometimes hooks into the event queues of our software. Each of these servers should be able to recreate the events locally. So it's not only clearing the cache, but it's also triggering customizations that should be possible from a cloud-ready solution. The software must be, of course, self-contained. You cannot rely on other software packages running in the cloud, because if they break down, then your solution too would break down. And each of these software, any software that should are cloud-ready, should also, of course, have an integration layer that supplies a web service integration. Otherwise, you cannot integrate efficiently to other software packages. The typical challenges with software as a service. So if you plan to build a software as a service, or you do already have a software as a service offering to your customers, the software you're basing that application upon should be able to strictly separate its tenants. That's the people using the software. That's the normal way that you offer software as a service, is you have one installation, and that installation programmatically separates your different customers and clients. So it's important that the software caters the need for strictly separating users, but also the ability to distribute security management to sub-users. So you may have five customers, and each customer has a local administrator, and that local administrator could then redistribute rights. It's important, naturally, that you have a strict separation between database and content, but also physical files that you may have on your hard drive. So the system must be able to cater that. Sitecore 6.3, which was released a while ago, caters the needs for infrastructure as a service and platform as a service. So it's designed for endless scaling. This means you can plug on another server. All servers will pick up on the settings from a data location. You may have geolocated servers, and we can synchronize content between these geolocated servers, e.g. a server farm in Japan and Asia, and a server farm in the US, one server farm in Europe, and these would synchronize the content, and they would also individually, each instance would individually clear its cache in order to get the latest content. We, in Sitecore, uses a push-based architecture for high security. This means you can push your information from, for example, a backend a server, which is on-premises, to the delivery servers. So even though somebody managed to hack into the Microsoft Azure, they would not get access to sensitive data. In addition, Sitecore, but this is something we have had for a while, also supports software as a server features. So it is designed for multi-tenancy. It is possible to distribute security, separate users, solutions, content by a security model that is very comprehensive, and also even distribute these securities across different domains. This is an example of a setup that would be supported on Azure. So you would have your content production servers in the backend, several content production servers updating a cluster of SQL servers. These SQL servers may distribute content to and files to geolocated servers. So you may have, this may represent a server farm in Asia. This could be a server farm in US. And each of these servers would individually clear its cache and updates its settings and the contents and files directly from the database. So looking into the Sitecore and Microsoft Azure. What is it that Sitecore does on Azure? Well, we do deliver an interface which is executable from within the Sitecore desktop. So that means we can convert the current website. First, what we'll do is we have an application. You open the application from within your on-premises installation. Then you choose an area where you want to distribute your installation to. We convert the current website. When we do that, we analyze the current solution, including your own customizations. So Sitecore itself is being analyzed, but also your custom solution is being analyzed to see if you're using classes that is not .NET classes or whatever, custom coding that does not comply to Azure. In most cases, it would simply be an Azure format, and then we would ship it into a Microsoft, compile it into a Microsoft Azure instance. We convert, after that, we convert the SQL database into an Azure SQL format after, again, we have been analyzing if you have made any customizations in your SQL server. We grab those two packages, transfer them to Azure on the location you have chosen. Then we start the instances and spin them up. And that means that you as a customer or developer or an administrator may choose to go from an on-premises installation to a cloud-ready solution in less than 1 hour. Of course, this gives benefits to our customers as they do not need to choose in beforehand if they want to move the solution. If they want to reside the entire solution in the cloud or they want to reside it within their own infrastructure. And also, if they feel high loads and they need to scale up, they can at any time choose to distribute to the cloud. So essentially, this is the traditional Sitecore on-premises setup. You have your content production where you modify your content main content. Once it's ready, you publish to the delivery servers. In this case, it could be servers residing with outside in your DNZ. With Asia, when you want to transfer your application within the interface, within Sitecore, we have an interface that converts the solution into Asia format. It takes up to an hour to convert it and transfer it to Asia, and then automatically start the instances. After that, whenever you do a publish, we move that from your on-premises installation to the delivery in the cloud. The interface of Sitecore, the Asia, so let me just explain a little bit about Sitecore itself for those who do not know it. This is one of the interfaces we provide for Sitecore. It is running in a browser, and essentially Sitecore perceives web content management as not only editing the content, it's also maintaining its taxonomies, it's analyzing the behavior of your customers, etc. And all of these could be perceived as individual applications, really. So what we provide is a framework that encompasses, that appears as a well-known Windows interface, and then you can start each of these as separate applications. For example, if you want to edit your content, you open the content editor. If you want to analyze the behavior of your visitors, you can do so by opening that kind of application. And also, if you choose to, if you install the Sitecore Asia deployment tool, you get another application. Once you open this application, a world map shows you information about the areas where Microsoft currently offers hosting centers. The gray dots would indicate different hosting centers, and in this case, a green dot indicates that you have a live instance running delivery pages from this specific location. If it was a red dot, it would indicate there would be a problem, and a yellow would indicate that there may be a problem. For example, if you have three instances running, if all three services running in this one single location, it would be green. But if one of them, for example, is down for maintenance, the two others would be well functioning, but you would still get a warning. Clicking one of these, you can scale up the server, so you can add service by a single click, and then Asia would automatically scale up new server. This would allow you to click and set up. By using click, you can increase the number of servers in geolocations, and also add additional service in a single location. Clicking one location allows you to create the content delivery environment. So currently Sitecore do not provide editing in the cloud as well. This is something we do have on the roadmap. It's something we plan to deliver within a very short time, within the next 3 to 4 months. And then we move the entire application, we transfer the application and moves it to that remote location. All of this, in most cases, would take less than 1 hour to distribute, to decide to go from on-premises installation and move your application to the Asia cloud. So I think we are ready now for questions.
Thank you, Lars, for your informative presentation. We have some great questions today, and I'd like to encourage you all to continue submitting questions using the webinar toolbar throughout this Q&A session or via Twitter at #SitecoreCloud. If your questions are not answered, we will follow up with you on an individual basis. Also, I'd like to let you know about our next webinar scheduled for October 26th and 27th, 7 Web Analytics Metrics Your Executives Need to Know. You can learn more about the subject matter and speakers via the links on the slide. Our first question here today is, we've been looking at several web content management systems, but Sitecore appears to be the only one that fully supports Azure. Does that correspond with your own experiences? Lars, that question was directed for you.
Sorry about that. I need to unmute myself. I partly disagree. I do think there are several vendors on the market who offer solutions in the cloud in general, but not on Asia. I think this is due to the fact that there are very limited number of web content management systems in the enterprise class that actually runs 100% native Microsoft Asia environment. In fact, as far as when we talk to Microsoft, they tell us we're the only one who has completely adopted enterprise web content management that has adopted the Asia. So that means as there's nobody who's really running 100% .NET, that means they cannot move it to the cloud. So I don't think it's for technical. I don't think it's for business reasons. I think it's on based on technical limitations. And also, to be frank, it is hard to build a solution for the cloud. This could be Asia. It could be Amazon's Elastic Cloud. Because it's not just about reading data from a database. It's also about clearing your cache, synchronizing your cache between the applications, and also replay events, custom hooks into the software. And this is something that has taken Sitecore a while to develop into the solution. We went with an early adopter program with Microsoft 5 years ago, where we learned about the requirements. We identified what it is we needed to do in order to become cloud ready.
Thank you, Lars. The next question we have here is, any performance implications on IaaS and PaaS platforms as compared to on-premises installed servers?
That's a question I get very often. I would say there are performance differences between the hosted services and an on-premises installation. Obviously, if you ask Microsoft, Amazon, they would say there are none. But it goes without saying that if they run a whole infrastructure on virtual machines and you have an on-premises installation with a full dedicated machine that does not share resources with anybody else, then that machine would be faster. But that said, I think it's important also to consider the fact that it is cheap to buy an instance because you only pay for the consumption. So you may buy two or three instances on Azure, and that would be the same as one dedicated server. But the benefit you get from that is obviously that you would have load balancing, and you would have failover automated with Azure. So I would say it is something that there is a difference, and I think right now you wouldn't see the big difference because there's not a lot of customers running on Microsoft Azure. But I think once they start getting more customers onto these data centers, I would assume that one virtual machine or one instance would be equivalent to a traditional server with two CPUs.
Thank you, Lars. Yep. Next question we have here is, do you have solid data on costs for running in the cloud?
Again, buying software from Sitecore is a one-off price model. So that we have, of course, the pricing for Sitecore, but the actual consumption, the price of running your infrastructure, really depends on the number of customers and the visits and the loads you have on that individual server. So it's virtually impossible to identify what the full cost is. You would have to go into the calculations that Microsoft provides. They have a calculation framework for it to help you identify and plan for capacity, and also to figure out how much it's going to cost you, because it's really a matter of your custom solution. It's a matter of how many customers is running on your website and what kind of application you're providing to them.
Thank you, Lars. Next question we have here is, you mentioned content publishing is one way for content production to the cloud. What about incoming traffic such as feedback, community solutions requiring approval, workflows, etc.
I'm sorry, you fell out a little bit. Could you repeat that?
My apologies. The question here was, you mentioned content publishing is one way for content production to the cloud. What about incoming traffic like feedback or community solutions requiring approval workflows?
Yeah, okay. So that's really a great question, because this is it possible also to get user-generated content back to you as an organization? Because what I've been talking about so far is delivering content in the cloud. So essentially, is it possible to build an application, a custom application, where people contribute the content and put it into the database and feed that back, especially if you're running multiple locations? Now, what Asia do provide is, of course, AndSiteCall, so the SiteCall framework allows you to build your own custom application on top of SiteCall. And you can also, on the SQL, Asia SQL, you may add your own custom databases or put data into SiteCall. And then it's a matter of replicating that content from your remote locations back to your servers. So while we use publishing as a push technology, you may also set up your environment to pull that information back to a centralized location or synchronize it between server to server in the cloud. So I think it's a great question. It is possible to build user-generated content applications in the cloud as well.
Thank you. The next question we have here is, what are the SiteCore licensing implications of running SiteCore in an Azure environment?
So right now, SiteCore do deliver our application server-based model. So that means you would need to buy a SiteCore server for each instance you're setting up. Now, I know that this is something we're working on. We're trying to figure out and get data back from Microsoft on the performance, referring to the question we had previously, the performance between an on-premises installation and an Azure installation. So right now, you have to buy a SiteCore server per instance you're setting up, and it's something that we're working with, and I also suggest that you contact your local office to get more details on this.
Thank you. And the next question we have here is, with an organization that caters to a range of venues with information, what kind of cloud offerings could we have with SiteCore?
And you did banks, was that the...
Correct.
I think it depends.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it depends on what kind of solution you're offering to the customers. So let's assume you offer sites with functionality to them. So you could design your software to support multiple sites using SiteCore's multi-tenant functionality, the software we have that support you building software as a service solution. So essentially, that's what you would be doing. So you would use SiteCore, put that in the cloud. So you may reside still in the cloud, but having one or more servers, and then have multi-tenants on each of these instances. If you design a communication website, which offers traditional information to your customers, either there's something they have to buy or whatever, in this case, you could just design SiteCore on your solution on a single SiteCore instance or more, and then move them to the cloud. So it doesn't, that wouldn't necessarily require a software as a service infrastructure.
Another great question here. Given SiteCore's deployment flexibility, are best practices available to ensure partner solutions are cloud ready?
Yeah, so we currently have an early adopters program with a lot more signing up than we initially expected. Everybody who signs up for this early adopter program will receive a best practice manual on how to set up your solution in Asia. Also, what is required to build your custom solution and special considerations you need if you are designing a custom solution.
Thank you. Next question we have here is, do you have forecast figures for usage growth in the cloud services over the next 5 years?
So this is if you've asked me 2 months ago, I would have said it's moderate. It's a moderate growth. I wouldn't have expected customers to focus and circle in on SiteCore because we do offer cloud and Asia on Asia. But the thing is that we expected one early adopter every month for the first 3 months. So one every month, so there would be a total of 3 early adopters. The fact was that we had 10 early adopters signing up the very first week on this Asia. And one of these actually inquired us on an environment that would cater 450 instances delivery service, which would be 20 times the maximum of any Asia installation so far. So I have to refine my previous pessimism. I would say there's a good chance that this will be successful, but solid numbers, I do not have those.
Thank you. The next question we have here is SiteCore fully supported in Amazon EC2?
It depends on what you mean by supported. So one of the differences between Amazon EC2 is that they are, and Azure, is that Amazon is an infrastructure as a service. This means you get access to a pre-installed SQL server, you get access to a virtual machine with Windows on it, and then you install the solution in your instance and in your SiteCore installation in your instance, or the virtual machine, and you install your database on the SQL server instance, or the web virtual machine. But then you have to configure the connection between these two manually. And while we do have customers who runs on Elastic Cloud, SiteCore is ready for the Elastic Cloud. We cannot support a solution that we do not control, a configuration that we do not control. So you can't call SiteCore and ask us, you know, we have broken the connection from the virtual machine that runs the internet information server and SiteCore and the database, our database. It's something that we cannot support, but we do certainly do have customers who runs on Amazon on the Elastic Cloud. And this is very different from our Asia solution, because what we do here is we pack down, zip the solution, and set up the connection between the Asia and the SQL Server Asia. So that means we have much more control with the solution. We can in high degree go in and help you as a customer. So that's the difference.
Thank you. We have time for a couple more questions here, so I'd like to encourage our attendees to submit them through the webinar toolbar or at the Twitter hashtag SiteCore Cloud. Next question we have here is, can we assume SiteCore 6.3 works seamlessly with just the web database or Azure and the front-end instance? Can the front-end be completely detached from the master and core database without encountering security issues?
So if you're asking if all SiteCore modules will run on Asia, the answer is no, because some of these modules would directly access the Windows environment, and that means that we cannot for certain say that all our modules will work. And I can't say that it's likely that the web app will not work, because that will require specific settings on the internet information server, and Microsoft has not provided these settings. You cannot set them up from a configuration standpoint using the .NET to configure it. So right now, web app would not work with this tool. That's part one of the question. Could you ask me part two of the question?
Sure. Part two of the question was, in SiteCore 6.3, can the web front end be completely detached from the master and core databases without encountering security issues?
Okay. So what we do when we pack the solution and move it to the cloud, we remove the master database, and we maintain only the web database and the core database. But what we do with the core database is we also narrow it down, remove records that is not needed to run an environment where you are using delivery only. So you still need the core database, a part of that, because that runs the Siteco installation, and you would need your web database, obviously, to deliver your web content.
Thank you. Next question we have here is, could you get into more detail on Siteco extending the cloud to cover content editing?
Yes. I don't know if I mentioned this previously. Siteco is, right now, it's delivering the cloud only, but we will also support, within the near future, we'll also support editing in the cloud. but that does have some implications on distributing content from one location to another. So it's not, if we do that, it's not push technology, so we have to clear a few issues with Microsoft. But we do work with Microsoft and Redmond on solving a lot of these challenges. We are early adopter, and we also are managed partner in regards to Asia. We work directly with the Asia teams. We work directly with the management team, general manager of the entire Asia initiative, which means we have cleared a lot of these issues already now in order to get to the point where we are. And of course, they are also interested because we are the ISV who has implemented the highest adoption of Asia within our entire framework. So we are pushing the boundaries with Microsoft. They are trying to clear them. So when we do have editing in the cloud, I cannot say for sure. It depends on a few changes in the API for Microsoft. We assume that should be ready within 3 to 4 months.
Thank you, Lars. I think that's all we have time for today. If your question was not answered during this closing Q&A, we will follow up with you on an individual basis. I hope to see you all at our upcoming webinar, 7 Web Analytics Metrics Your Executives Need to Know. Thank you, Lars. Thank you, everyone, for participating in this webinar. You will be emailed a link to this presentation, including the PDF of the slides, so you can view it again and share with colleagues. Thank you, everyone.